baseball, Blue Jays, and more baseball. It's the walk-off with Scott Belford and Adam Mack.
This ball is crushed.
The Die Hard Podcast for the casual fan.
And another one. My goodness.
Hello and welcome to the walk-off. It is Mailbag Tuesday. Monday morning mailbag on a Tuesday afternoon. I'm Scott Belford, joined as always by the best co-host in the biz, Adam Mack. He's up. He's about now.
Hey.
Yes.
Yeah. I slept in.
He slept in. You did sleep
in. Yeah, I did.
And normally I would not mention it, but I am going to mention it because I'm on BC time. And you deserve just a little bit of a ribbing, just a slight ribbing.
So you had to get up an extra hour early, and yes. I slept in an extra hour late. I got it. Okay.
All right, everybody, we do have a pile of interaction from the week. Of course, mailbag is exactly that. We kind of comb through all of your DMs, all of your questions, all of your interactions in the comments throughout the week, and then we answer them the best that we can. You can always get a hold of us on Twitter at Walk Off Podcast, on Instagram, The Walk Off Podcast. A lot of our interaction comes from Discord. If you have yet to join the Discord, it is free, it is fun, and it is super happening all the time. We're pushing 200 members in there. You can do so. There's a little link in the show notes, and if you click that, it'll take you through the steps to sign up and then direct you right to our Discord. We also always give a tip of the hat to our Patreon who are out there supporting us, supporting the little guy, and we really appreciate that. Adam has the list of names to thank. Go ahead there, bud.
David, Abraham, Michael, Sarah, John, Simon, Rashid, Joshua, Jeremy, Ian, and Dunedin Bob. Thank you very much for your support on Patreon. Patreon.com/The Walk Off Podcast. $4 a month, Scott, gets you access to all of our movie reviews, Bull Durham, Mr. Baseball, Major League, Moneyball, and more. Field of Dreams coming. Battered Bastards of Baseball. We're going to be recording probably later this week. Behind the scenes shows. Early access to all of our interviews, unedited. We're doing series previews, which some of you may have seen as kind of like a free public preview on our YouTube page. We're basically just spending 10 minutes ahead of every series, and we're running down the pitching matchups, you know, what the other teams bring into the table, what kind of a matchup you can expect. Injury news and notes and stuff like that. So,
and of course, for that right now, anyways, until the All-Star break, is going to not be behind the paywall. So you can kind of check it out and see what you think. And then come All-Star break, we are going to start making that a Patreon exclusive.
There you go. So $1 a week, $4 a month gets you all that stuff. Plus, we're going to start doing contests of sorts for our Patreon. So, Patreon has some pretty strict rules on what is a raffle and their lottery laws. So we can't just make it a true blind random raffle on Patreon, but we can run contests with very low requirements, such as where did you first fall in love with the Blue Jays? Write us a paragraph and we'll choose the best one. And the winners are going to get cool shit like this. This Jose Barrios Toronto Blue Jays jersey that I found at a antique store for just $10. So that was my big payday of the weekend. Man, did I feel like I hit jackpot.
Yeah. I love the story behind it too, because Adam texted me. He's like, should I get this? And I was like, absolutely you should. And then he texted me back. He's like, oh, I went back to get it and somebody grabbed it. And yeah. You can finish the story here.
So I'm at this big antique mall because my wife and I love going to like the old antique stores or whatever. That's our Saturday afternoon date kind of thing. I see this sick Jose Barrios Blue Jays jersey for $10. I'm like, that's a steal. That's so good. I mean, it is the press on logo and name and stuff,
right?
But I mean, for $10, there's no holes in it, there's no stains, it's like an adult's extra large. I'm like, this is great for $10. So yeah, I text Scott. I'm like, should I get this? Like, is this, it's a little too small for me. If it was a double XL, I'd be all over it. I wouldn't even have questioned it, but it's just an XL. So I'm like, should I? And Scott's like, yeah, for sure, do it. So I circle back to go get it. It's not there because, of course, Murphy's Law. So I just go outside and I'm just pouting, right? Like, because I'm just petty like that. And I just text my wife. I'm like, well, I'm like, it's hot in here. So I'm outside sitting on a bench. Like, take your time, but I'm done. And then she's the one that grabbed it. So she comes out with a big sheeting grin on her face. And it's just like, look what I got for you. So anyways.
Wife win.
So wife win, and her reward is that I'm flipping this nice gift that she got for me and re-gifting it to our Patreon. Yes. So there you go.
By the way, before we move on, we are going to get right into questions and comments right away here. I did wish to bring this up. I know we are reviewing Battered Bastards of Baseball. That's a Netflix special. If you have not seen it, I know it's not one of those baseball movies out there that everyone has seen. Number one, it is phenomenal. Like, it's one of my favorite baseball movies of all time. It's a documentary, but it is set up so well, and it's such an incredible story. You really should check it out. It's about independent baseball and kind of the struggle once the 70s hit and everything became affiliate and just independent ball died. And this one independent team came into Portland and tried to be a part of the affiliate minor league system. And anyways, I'm not going to spoil anything, but you really should check it out. If you're a baseball fan, even if you don't give a shit about our review and you don't even want to watch the Patreon thing or anything like that, Battered Bastards of Baseball, it is great. All right.
Scott has been telling me to watch Battered Bastards of Baseball since we started the podcast, and it sounded kind of dumb to me, to be honest. So I kind of just kept kicking it aside and I was like, yeah, okay, sounds good, Scott. But I have to say that I watched it a few months ago, and yeah, it was a really entertaining show. Yeah, we'll leave it at that. But yeah, even if you're not going to jump on the Patreon to see our review of it, it's definitely like a 10 out of 10. Anybody who likes baseball will enjoy that movie.
Really,
it's
enjoy it.
Very interesting from a historical perspective. It's funny and entertaining. Yeah, it was just very, very good show. I can't speak highly enough of that. So it's on Netflix. And so there you go.
If you're a Kurt Russell fan, he is the first baseman on this team. So
yeah. And by the way, not like as an actor, like historically, he was just a participant in this. It's a crazy baseball story that I can't believe I'd never heard of and was just completely unaware of. So yeah, very cool. Very, very fun story. Just watch that and then send us some DMs and let us know what you thought of it, because
yeah, totally.
I'm interested to hear. Okay. Off to the mailbag. You ready?
Let's do it, buddy. Let's get into it.
Let me know in the comments how our audio is doing. I have this new boom arm. Thank you to Rashid, who contributed to the podcast very generously and helped us upgrade our setup. So part of it is this new boom arm for the microphone, and hopefully that improves our sound quality a little bit. My microphone isn't quite heavy enough for it, so it wants to keep rising on me, and I shouldn't have fucking fiddled with it. I had it all good. Anyways, I'm fiddling now.
Show everyone the boom.
I know. So I got
the boob arm.
The boob arm, as I called it in the Discord. So we did get a bad taco submission with a taco punching, and he had each of his arms labeled left arm and or left boob and right boob. So, so stupid. Anyways, Discord, fun place to be. All right, so first comment comes in from Tragically Leaf, says, are you guys doing The Sandlot for movies yet? That's an epic movie.
It was not on our list, but I think we are going to wind up doing The Sandlot. Obviously, as a kid, it was one that I just watched to the point of I had to take like a 15-year break from watching it, you know?
Yes.
And I think it was like watch it.
Sorry, I was just saying, I think it was a lot of kids' like first movie that they watched too many times.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It was just a fun movie, and I know that I watched it again recently, and it held up better than I was expecting it to hold up, in all honesty. There were a few cringe moments, like when the buddy boy there at the pool fakes drowning and then forces the kiss on
the
lifeguard.
Yeah.
Yeah, but.
All right. No, good suggestion there. next one comes in from Twitter. Blue Jays Balls 69 DM'd us on Twitter
And, I got this DM last night. Yeah.
So they're frustrated. Hey, boys, that loss last night was embarrassing. This team has been awful the last four games. WTF. So big Mark Maron fan here.
Well, I don't know how you feel, Adam, but I kind of feel like if there has ever been a moment to give this team a pass on a four-day loss, a four-game loss, it is this one. I mean, they've played four games in the last 3 days. Game one of that doubleheader, we watched one of the top pitchers in this starting rotation for the Jays take a comebacker off the ankle, and thank goodness it wound up being nothing. Like, he got pulled from the game in the second inning. They sent him for x-rays. Those all came back negative. He probably isn't going to make his start on Thursday. Nothing has been announced yet. I know that he tried to throw a bullpen yesterday, and he was still struggling putting weight on his ankle. It's a contusion. It's a big bone bruise. So, obviously, he might miss a start here, but knock on all the wood and thank the baseball gods that he is going to be all right, because this pitching staff is in it rough right now. And then, of course, game two of that doubleheader, we watched Mark Budzinski, first base coach for the Blue Jays, leave the field midway through the game. And then we watched Charlie Montoyo do the same thing in the seventh. Then the next day we find out that his daughter, Julia, 17 years old, passed away tragically and suddenly. You got to remember, too, that this team is a team that a lot of these guys came up together through the minor leagues, and they're very cohesive and like a family. Not that there isn't that aspect to a lot of teams, but it runs a little deeper with the Blue Jays just because these kids grew up together. To deal with that sort of loss within the clubhouse, so without a chance to catch a breath, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I really think that sometimes life is bigger than baseball. Rarely.
Rarely.
But in a case like this, I don't know. Like, the WTF, that's what the fuck. Like, literally, like, that's why they're so messed up right now, in my opinion. I mean, yes, there's bullpen problems. Yes, this team needs some reinforcements come the trade deadline. Yes, losing to the Oakland Athletics is just brutal. But I think this team is going to be fine. I know there's Yankees fans that are celebrating on this four-game skid. But, you know, from the exterior, when you don't know what's actually going on, it's easy to be like, oh, the Blue Jays are on a skid. They're on their way out. It's like, nah, they're going to catch their grip. They're going to be fine. They are playing shit teams the next few days here. You know, like, they should win this Oakland series still. I truly believe that. And yes, Alek Manoah was off yesterday. Like, did you watch the game, Adam?
Yeah, I did. Honestly, one thing that I noticed right away with Alek Manoah, just listening to the play-by-play, in his last start, I think it was 26 pitches before he threw his first slider, right? And we've talked about this before, the change in approach from Alek Manoah, getting away from, I want to strike everybody out, to instead, I want to get quick outs so that I can go deeper into the game. Right? This is a kid with a whole season left ahead of him. Between this start, his next start, and the All-Star break, he's going to be pretty close to his career high in innings pitched at any level with all of the summer left ahead of him. So
he allowed 6 runs yesterday and pitched 5.2 innings. Like, he pitched into the 6th, even with what he did.
So he had his slider going early yesterday in the first inning. And to me, that immediately was red flags, because for me, it felt like we're coming into Oakland. This is a AAA team. Let's pad our stats. I want to go, you know, 7 innings with 13 strikeouts. That's what it felt like to me, was we're going to win. It's going to be fine. But, you know, he has to know in the back of his mind he's a Cy Young contender at this point, right? It felt like maybe he was getting a little too fancy and wanted to pad his stats, right? Was, you know, we say it all the time, like, you know, position player on the mound pitching. And guess what, Vladdy? He's swinging for the fucking fences, mm-hmm. right? He's not looking for the base hit. He's looking for, no, I'm looking for my 19th, my 20th home run with this swing, right? And I got that vibe from Alek Manoah yesterday with the use of his slider in such a way. It felt like he was looking for strikeouts. And yeah, I mean, on top of that, he didn't quite have it. But I think, mm-hmm. I don't know. I was a little disappointed, to be honest.
Alek Manoah has been nothing but selfless this mm-hmm. year. We have watched him change his approach to go deeper into games, just like Adam just touched on. But you do look at the number one contender for the Cy Young in the AL, right? Shane McClanahan out of Tampa Bay. We watched him in that series, that five-game series, just completely dominate against mm-hmm. this Blue Jays offense. K's is what separates him from Alek Manoah. It's his strikeouts. And so if you're Manoah and you're looking at that and you're thinking, I've got a legitimate chance at a Cy Young Award here, I'm at least going to be nominated, mm-hmm. it can get in a young kid's head. Again, Alek Manoah is 24. Just a reminder that even McClanahan is 25. And it took him an extra year to get where Manoah is right now. Most guys who kind of come into their own are 27, 28. When they find it. So I think that this was probably a good lesson for Manoah. I think that there was more going on in his head too. I mean, let's face it. Every time you look over to first base and Bud Zinski's not there, you're reminded. You know? Yep.
No, absolutely.
So they're dealing with a lot of stuff, not just baseball-wise. And on top of that, their bullpen is on fire. So, you know, there's a lot of pressure for him to go deep in the game, and then he puts extra pressure on himself to maybe pad his Ks and his strikeouts a little bit more, pad his stats. You're playing the Oakland Athletics. You start to listen. Every single team in the major leagues can win against the other major league teams. Oakland proved it last night. They were the worst team in baseball.
Do you think that maybe just from the Oakland A's, like not to discredit what the Oakland A's did, we didn't just simply beat ourselves yesterday. They showed up to play.
They showed up to play.
And do you think that Matt Chapman's return to Oakland maybe had something to do with it? Do you think there was a little bit of a pep talk in the clubhouse before the game? Like, hey, boys, like, we're going to win 40 games this year. Let's make today one of them.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, even if it's just the sentiment of the guys being like, let's win it for Kirby Snead and Zach Logue. Let's win it for the guys that are on this team that came mm-hmm. over in the trade, who everyone can't wait to talk about how Oakland lost the trade, right? So I think there were a lot of reasons
for
what happened last night, a lot of factors. And I'm honestly, this might get a lot of comments and might get me roasted in the comments, but I'm not worried. I really think this team is going to be fine. I think there are going to be reinforcements coming at the trade deadline. I think they're going to keep their head above water. Well, the front office does what they need to do to bring in the reinforcements that we're going to need for a big playoff push. It is what it is. There's ebbs and flows, and sometimes those ebbs and flows aren't just baseball related.
Two more games in this series, Scott, and then off to Seattle. Are we going to win both of them? We got Yusei Kikuchi on the mound tonight. Which Yusei Kikuchi do you expect to see?
I mean, if the baseball gods have shown us anything, it's that you cannot expect or predict anything Yusei Kikuchi is going to do. Personally, man, I think he's going to pitch a gem. I think we get 5-6 innings out of him. I think it's going to be a run or two, and I think we're going to win this game.
Can I tell you what the pessimist in me wants to really say? Is I think Yusei Kikuchi finds it and pitches phenomenally through July. Just enough to where we're like, we don't need to replace him on our starting rotation. And then the day after the trade deadline, he just fucking tanks again and is useless.
I'm going to tell you right now, Adam, if that happens, we riot. Okay? Like,
yes.
If this front office has
1994, it's Vancouver all over again. We riot.
Yusei Kikuchi is 31 years old. If you can't look at his career numbers and realize that this is most likely who this guy is, just deadly sometimes and just cannot find it others, I am going to lose a little bit of faith in this front office. I don't think that's possible. I don't think this front office is going to do that personally. I don't care how hot Yusei Kikuchi gets.
We're going to talk trades a little bit more in the mailbag further down the road, so we'll save the rest of our trade talk for then. But okay. We should still win the rest of this series for sure. Okay. In Discord, David Cook. David Cook, by the way, you mentioned you went down to Nat Bailey Stadium the other day.
Yesterday, yes.
Checked it out. It was raining.
Very cool stadium. Beautiful
little area. They weren't playing ball. It was rained out. Was that the case? Or was that the day before?
It was rained out on Sunday. Yesterday, they were on the road. It's a beautiful stadium, dude. It's right in the woods. It's crazy. Like, there's just like, it's surrounded by forest. It's very cool. Anyways.
Very cool. David Cook was telling us in Discord that I guess he's on Vancouver Island, so he took the ferry over for a game at Nat Bailey Stadium. He wanted to check out the the Ricky Tiedemans of the world, the Semmelbursts, and the next wave of Alec Manoas, right? Understandably so. If you're in the Lower Mainland, go to check out the Vancouver Canadiens. But David took a ferry ride, bought tickets, and the game was rained out. So $200 in ferry rides, $40 in tickets, 3 hours of his life out the window. But David summed it up perfectly. He got a free hot dog. So that's a $240 hot dog that we're calling a free hot dog. That's some real optimism from David, so appreciate that. Okay, so David's comment from Discord says, who else is okay with Kevin Biggio as our lefty bat and just focusing on a pitcher at the trade deadline? Because every lefty bat on the market doesn't seem to be much better than what we currently have, in my opinion.
I'm going to give you a second here if you want to pull up Biggio's stats.
Yeah, you bet.
Because one of the things that was a real detriment to this team at the beginning of the year is that they did lack any sort of productivity out of their lefty bats. And Kevin Biggio back in 2019 gave all of us Blue Jays fans so much hope. We all fell in love with him, which is why Biggio, while he was struggling, there was such a divide of the fan base. If some of them were like, we got to stop giving this guy chances. And the other half was like, he will find it. We have seen it from him before, right? The plate discipline, the ability to read pitches all out of the pitcher's hand and to lay off stuff that is most guys would be swinging at, right? That are just outside. He went down to the minor leagues, AAA. He dealt with some injuries at the beginning of the season. But since he has been back, he has been incredibly impressive. Adam, I think you have the numbers to back that up, correct?
Yeah, first of all, I just wanted to say tip of the cap to you, Scott, for giving me that runway to pull up the stats.
Sure.
That's some impressive podcasting right there. No, look at us. We look professional in this moment. So, Kevin Biggio.
As long as our mics are on, right?
Hey, as long as our mics are on. Oh, we haven't been recording this whole time. Sorry, let me count us in. All right, so April 24th was his last game before leaving the team with injury. His batting average at that point was .043. Abysmal would be the word some people would use. His on-base percentage was .214, which is a bad batting average by all accounts. Since coming back from injury, though, May 26th to July 4th, his batting average is a whopping .284. With an on-base percentage of .422 an OPS of .911.
Those are elite numbers. And that is something that David really is hitting the nail on the head here. Can we go out and get that production for the price we would like? Probably not. So if Biggio is doing it, I don't think left-handed hitting is really the need of this team right now. What it needs is pitching, 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 pitching. The bullpen is in serious trouble right now. Now, there is some good news. Both Danny Jansen and Yimi Garcia had rehab starts yesterday. Yimi Garcia, his injury left a real hole in this bullpen probably bigger than a lot of people expected it to leave, but it has hurt. No one has really stepped up and taken over that kind of eighth inning, high leverage situational role. After Romano, it's a real roll of the dice. Tim Mayza hasn't really found his stuff since coming back from injury. Of course, Tim Mayza, I've got all the confidence in the world in the guy. However, he's struggling right now. I mean, we watched what he did last year in 2021. He was phenomenal. He was a godsend in the back end of this bullpen as a lefty. He looked so good in April. Went down with an injury. He was probably rushed back. And again, I've mentioned this before. When I say rushed back, I don't mean that he was physically unable to pitch. I mean that the Jays bullpen was in such a tight situation that rather than going and sending him to AAA for three rehab starts and giving him a two-week runway to ramp up, they threw him right back in the thick of things, which kind of wound up backfiring a little bit. He is starting to put it together. However, he's not who he was. You go up and down this bullpen and you can say that. Matt Gage stepped in and handled things very admirably. He, of course, was optioned down to AAA for yesterday's game.
As part of the roster management reshuffling.
Right, because they claimed, who did they claim off of waivers there?
Well, they claimed Sergio Romo off Raymer, off of waivers, and they traded for Anthony Bonda from the Pittsburgh Pirates for Bonda, cash considerations.
Right. Yes, because what Pittsburgh did is they released him. And then the mm-hmm. Jays were like, hey, we'll give you, rather than trying to fight,
win the waiver wire.
The waiver wire, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because you know that when you're not good enough to pitch for the Pirates, that, that the waiver market is going to be a hot, hot commodity.
But he pitched last night, it was fine. I don't know.
Okay, let's talk Anthony Bonda then for a second, because this is one thing, like, I get it. I get sending Matt Gage down. He's got options, right? This is the nature of the beast, like whatever cliche you want to say for it, with being that AAA reliever. But like, it's frustrating because he's been one of our best bullpen arms for the last month or like since he's been called up.
He's
been pushing to be like a high leverage arm all of a sudden. So like, it's just frustrating to see. Again, I get it because the options game is, it is what it is.
Also with that double header and the Jays being blowing up the last few starts, he's pitched a lot. So they needed a fresh arm was part of it too. So
right.
They're looking at the guys who have pitched, the guys who have options, the guys that, it's why you see that and you see it every year, right? The yo-yo guys who just up and down, because you only burn one option a year. So even though, you know, guys have only two to three options, you know, once you burn it for a year, you might as well yo-yo them up and down if you need to. And that's kind of the unfortunate situation Matt Gage is in.
So for anybody who's not familiar with how options work, Scott briefly touched on it. But in case my dad is wondering, basically, when you are on the cusp and you're a minor leaguer, you have an option year. You have, I think, four option years. But like Scott said, you can be called up to the major league club and demoted basically unlimited amount of times. I think there is a limit, but it's like, it's absurdly high. So you can get called up and sent down and there's no consequences. There's no risk of another team getting you in that process. Whereas when you're like a veteran in the league and you're out of options in order to send you down, you have to clear waivers, which basically exposes you to the other 29 teams. And if somebody else says, yeah, I'll take Matt Gage, I'll have him on my team, then if any team puts a claim in, there's nothing you can do. You can lose them. So that's why guys with options are the ones that get sent up and down, like Taylor Cicedo and all these types of guys. Anyways, Matt Gage has a 1.38 ERA, 13 innings pitched, and a whip of 0.923, so a whip under one. Matt Gage has just been pitching incredibly. We need more guys like Matt Gage coming up from our AAA team to help out. I know we've got like Max Castillo and stuff like this, but Matt Gaetje has been absolutely everything we could ask for out of the relief role in the bullpen. He'll be back, right? He'll be back.
He will. Absolutely. Summer. He might even be back in this series.
We should set up a quick chat with him while he's down in AAA.
I should. And I'll just send be like, hey. After this, yeah.
Yeah, anyways. Anthony Bonda from the Pittsburgh Pirates. Nothing spectacular to write home about. His ERA with Pittsburgh this year is 6.4 with a whip of almost 2. Sergio Romo this year, ERA of 8.16 and a whip of 1.5, although Romo has pitched well with Toronto in the 3 appearances since he's been here. Yeah, I don't know what else to say about the bullpen, man, but we definitely need reinforcements.
There are not internal options, and that is the truth. Probably the closest thing that you might see is a guy like Kyle Johnston, friend of the show, by the way, pitching in Buffalo right now. He got blown up real bad about a month ago, so his numbers are a little inflated. But even with that said, you know, he's got a 4.24 ERA and a FIP of around 3.5. He's not burning it up. He's fine. He's a viable arm. He's got some good stuff and a real nasty slider. But again, is this – it's a roll of the dice, right? And I think this team is in desperate need of a sure thing.
Yeah, we need a Simber-type trade, a Trevor Richards-type trade, where we're sending a real piece and getting a real piece back. And it needs to happen soon, I would say.
Okay. All the respect in the world to Kyle Johnston, by the way. I wasn't trying to make it seem like I'm crapping on anyone. It's just, you know, if you look at this minor league system, there isn't really, until you hit Vancouver, there's not a lot of pitching options. And Vancouver, they're too young, right? Like, they're too far down the rankings to expect anyone to Alec Manoah it.
Yeah, we're not calling up a 19-year-old to solve our bullpen issues, that's for sure. Okay, next one comes from Discord as well. Original Blunt Smoking. Lourdes, flirting with a 300 batting average. It's crazy how every season he starts incredibly slow, but then destroys the baseball in June and July. At least he's consistent.
He had an OPS of 585 in April. Like, think about how bad that is. Wow. And now he's almost hitting 300. His OPS is over 800 now. Like, Lourdes Gurriel Jr. does this every single year, and every single year we're talking about him in May. Like, what the hell is with this dude? And then June, Lourdes shows up, and sure enough, hot as all get out, hitting like a beast.
Do you want his numbers for the past 30 games, Scott?
Yes, please.
He's batting .382 with an OPS of 1,006. Teoscar, in comparison, is batting .336 with an OPS of .981. And in the past 7 games, just for fun, Kevin Biggio is hitting .389 with an OPS of .1355.
Wow.
Matt Chapman, over the last 7 games, hitting .304 with an OPS of .985. Those stats come in from Dulcimerist, so thank you, Dulcimerist, for those little tidbits there. I mean, small sample size for those 7-game stat lines, but...
Since June 1, the Blue Jays lead MLB in runs, 189, in WRC plus at 139, so that's weighted runs created at 139. Their batting average, they lead the league in at 285, and on-base percentage at 352. So over the last month and a week, this team is the best team in baseball offensively. They need pitching, and they need it bad. Pitching, 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 man.
Here's how you build a World Series winner. You have offensive capabilities to win half the time. You have pitching capabilities to steal a game half the time. I remember from biology class, the old, like, blue eyes, brown eyes little graph there, that means that 75% of the time we're going to get a win, right? Mm-hmm. if both show up, it's a stomping, right? It's a 10-1 win. The pitching shows up and the bats are awake. If the pitching shows up and the bats don't, you know, we win 3-1. If the bats show up and the pitching doesn't, we win 10-9. And if neither show up, okay, well, then we lose, right? But that's what the New York Yankees are doing, and that's why they have a winning percentage around 700. So, yeah, we need pitching. We need pitching bad. Okay. Next comment.
But it's not a lost cause. Like, I want to really drive that home to everyone who is following along here. Like, to think that this team is out of it, that this team can't win a World Series, I think is really pessimistic way of looking at it, and probably isn't taking the full thing, the full scope of this Toronto Blue Jays team. One really good look at what David Price did for that 2015 team. Look at what the three bullpen arms that they went out and got, right? LaTroy Hawkins and I'm forgetting now, but anyways, they really did bolster the bullpen, right? They went out and got three really viable arms in the bullpen, and a major star starting pitcher turned that team completely around, a 50-50 team. And this team is going to be a lot better than that 2015 team at 100 games in record-wise. I guarantee that. We'll see what happens. They're right near the halfway point of the season.
We are 81 games in. This is the halfway point of the season.
Exactly the halfway point. We're on pace for 88 wins. I know that's not
ideal. That's a low number.
But also, the last team to win the World Series finished the season with 88 wins. So to hit panic here, I think, is silly.
Here's a point. Just talking playoffs. All you need is a ticket to the dance, right? You get into the playoffs, anything can happen. First round is going to be a 3-game series, best of 3, sorry. We, for the last few weeks, we've been talking about, does this team need starting pitching? Well, the top three guys are good. You know, Manoa's Manoa. Gossman's good most of the time. Berríos, hopefully, is good when you need him to be good, right? But those are your three guys. That gets you past Boston in the first round, right?
It does.
Are we just going to pitch each of those guys on 2 days rest against the Yankees, though? Like, is it Manoa, Gossman, Berríos, right back to Manoa? Do you know what I mean?
There's a day off in between. I mean, you might need to go on 4 days rest. I don't know, but
you're going to need a fourth starting pitcher to get past the New York Yankees.
They need a fourth starting pitcher. I agree.
Okay.
You don't need to sell me on pitching. I'm with you.
Let me twist that arm a little harder. All right, next one comes in from Matthew Pierce on YouTube. Just this morning says, I've downloaded Discord, but how do I join this Blue Jays channel of yours? I can't find it. Great question, Matthew. Thank you for your interest in the Discord. Discord is now closed. Just kidding. There will be a link in all of our show notes that you can just click on. If you have the Discord app downloaded, it should just redirect you and say, would you like to accept this invitation? And then you just say yes. But Matthew, for you specifically, I will also copy that link and respond to your comment directly so it's easy for you to find. And thank you for your interest, Matthew.
Yeah.
Okay.
And an early welcome to Discord.
Yeah, early welcome to Discord, Matthew. Hope you have better luck at the Vancouver Canadiens game if you ever choose to go. All right. We had a lot of comments coming in about who's realistically tradable on this team.
Like dozens of comments.
Yes, dozens. Comments on YouTube. People who are angry with us for even throwing Espinal's name out there. People who can't wrap their mind around how we could even discuss Alejandro Kirk being traded. Emotionally, I get it. But like realistically, I mean, we just talked ad nauseum about the pitching needs that this team finds itself desperately in. We're not going to just fix all of our pitching holes by trading prospects only and cash considerations. Like, that's not going to be a big enough splash. I've been watching a lot of this. Go ahead.
I do wish to kind of say, too, that just because Adam and I mention a name, it's not that we're advocating for any of these guys to be traded. You know, like when we talk about the possibilities out there for this team, it's taking a look at where you could take from this current roster without it making a hole on that end and plugging a hole somewhere where there's an area of need. Right? So when we bring up Santiago Espinal, like, my goodness, I would hate to see SB leave. I really would. But the truth is if you look at this lineup and the way that Biggio has been playing, you could plug Biggio into second base where Espinal was. Espinal has been killing it at second base. He's a very versatile guy who can also play third. He can also play shortstop. He is a youthful. I mean, he's 27, so he's pretty much in the prime of his career, and he's still got 3 years of control. That type of player has a lot of value and might be the type of guy you need to give up to get a dude like a Frankie Montas, if that's the echelon of pitcher that you're after. And I think it probably should be the echelon that the Blue Jays are shopping in. If you're going to get a real high leverage, big time arm for the back end of that bullpen, you're going to need to pay for it. Again, this isn't me saying let's trade Espinal. This isn't me saying let's trade Lourdes Gurriel Jr., who's just about to hit 300 right now, has 2 more years of $3 million. However, if you ship out Gurriel, that outfield spot is something that could be filled maybe within a trade. If you're looking at a guy like Andrew Benintendi on an expiring contract, that is an easier hole to fill, and then use the trade value that is attached to a guy like Gurriel to bring in pitching. I don't wish to do this, but you're going to feel a hit no matter what. Like, look back on when we got Jose Berríos, and I know everyone now is celebrating what a win that was. Austin Martin wasn't great. You know, everyone's ready to write him off. Simeon Woods Richardson, they're ready to write him off, even though he's only 22 and Austin Martin's only 24. And there's still obviously a lot of runway for these guys to find their talent. I just wish people to just realize that this is not you and I being like, we got to move Teo. Like, no, but these are the guys. Like, these are the guys where you have a little bit of leeway and a little bit of room to play, because you're not going to leave a huge vacant hole by moving them. Catcher is another one. But, I mean, if you move Gabriel Moreno, like, right, if you're moving one of your prospects and you're not moving a major league piece that's ready for the bigs, then your value in the trade is going down. Even a Gabriel Moreno hasn't proved it yet. I mean, Moreno probably has. But let's go Aroldis Martinez as an example.
Yeah, Martinez.
Aroldis Martinez doesn't. You hope Aroldis Martinez becomes Santiago Espinal with a little more power. But that's a roll of the dice.
Yeah, I mean, Jared Klenick was the number one prospect in baseball 2 years ago. He got called up to the Mariners, struggled, got sent down, got called back up. I think he's in AAA again right now. Like, he's just struggling with that step between AAA and the major league level. It's hard for most guys. We're spoiled and we forget about it because Bo and Vlad and even Moreno recently, right? Like, it.
Yeah.
So it is really easy to, like, lose sight of the fact that, oh yeah, it's a big step. So yeah, prospects are a lot different than, like, Espinal. If you're the Chicago Cubs, or if you're the whoever, like, you look at Espinal and you go, yeah, that could be our starting shortstop for the next 3 years for free, like, for dirt cheap, like, no money invested. For and he's going to be like a rock solid guy who, like, isn't. The fan base can't complain about having Espinal at shortstop, right? Like, yeah, so we're definitely not advocating. That's a good point. But
we do need pitching. Like, that's the bottom line.
We need
something
pitching.
Something has to be done. Something has to be done.
I've been seeing a lot of comments on Sportsnet, whether it's pre- and post-game show, whether it's Blair and Barker, or at the Letters. Shout out to all those guys in their shows as well. They seem to think, though, like, this is the tone that I'm taking away from these talking points from these guys who are certainly more insiders than we are. They seem to think that a big trade needs to happen sooner than later. If nothing else, then to just change the vibe on this team. I mean, they talked, I think it was Arden Zwelling was talking yesterday about the change in energy that Jose Berríos trade brought to this team when he walked through the doors, right? And maybe that's what this team needs, like, if for nothing else than just like a shot of life, a boost in the arm to go like, yeah, this is what our expectations are this year. And I don't know, man, it's just, it's going to be real sad to see Espinal get traded or whatever. It was really sad to see Rowdy Tellez get traded last year.
It was,
you know,
and there's going to be some heartbreak. Yeah. Like, I'm not excited about it. It is what it is. This team is a contending team, and this front office better damn well act like it. And if they're going to act like it, they're going to need to make some tough decisions, some decisions that's going to ruffle some feathers and upset some fans. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's emptying the cupboards in the minor league system. I don't know if it's giving up guys. Like, think about how upset everyone would be. It's all of a sudden Gabriel Moreno, Aroldis Martinez, Ricky Tiedemann, Sam Roberts are all sent out. These are like some of their top prospects. So if you're going to get a real impact player back, that's the sort of deal you're going to need to look at, unless you're taking from the major league team, which also has its downfalls and its pitfalls.
I think maybe part of the reason Blue Jays fans want to just see prospects get traded and not lose an Espinal, maybe they are framing it with a memory of Alex Anthopoulos, where he was able to make the moves he was doing, essentially sell the farm, so to speak, no pun intended, to put that team together. You mentioned David Price, right? The Troy Tulowitzki trades, to put together the pieces he needed, right? The difference was he already had one foot out the door, right? Shapiro and Atkins are not going anywhere.
Exactly. If they didn't make the playoffs in 2015, just to reiterate your point here, Adam, mm-hmm. if they didn't make the playoffs in 2015, a lot of you forget this. Alex Anthopoulos was on his way out. He was going to be fired. Bottom line, for sure.
So, do I think that Shapiro Atkins trade those four guys you just named? Roberts, Tiedemann, Aroldis Martinez, Gabriel Moreno, Jordan Groshans is another one, right? Mm-hmm. I don't, because we're going to need to make moves next year too. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, all those prospects, we're going to also still need to be potentially trading them. Like, you know, like, that's what the farm system is potentially for, right? Like, hope maybe Groshans steps up and is a major league third baseman next year with Matt Chapman. And then maybe Groshans gets packaged in a deal with Ricky Tiedemann, and we're bringing back a Cy Young contending pitcher or something, right? But yeah, we can't just...
Even more interestingly, think about the idea of moving Espinal if this team truly believes that Jordan Groshans can step in to that shortstop third base hole. Right? Like, if they can, you know, because Groshans has plenty of experience at third and short. He's played a little bit of second. Normally, if you can play short, you can play second, right? Mm-hmm. It tends to be the case. I'm not saying everyone can play second base. I'm not saying it's an easy position. But if you've got the acumen to play shortstop and third, normally you can relearn the position and adjust to give the team some versatility and play you at second. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's something that this team is looking at. Again, this is not me saying let's trade Espinal. I am not into trading Teoscar Hernandez. I'm not into trading Lourdes Gurriel Jr. But these are the three guys that on the team you might see in a big trade, right? Where this front office is like, let's shake it up a little bit. Let's change the chemistry just a bit and see what happens. I mean, there's some tough decisions to be made. Paul Beeston did it back in 92. Those World Series would not have happened, 92 and 93, had it not been for Robbie Alomar and Joe Carter being brought in. I truly believe that. So you also gave up
Tony Fernandez
and Lloyd Mosby. Like, you gave up some big-time talent to get those guys.
Yeah, popular with the fans.
You're not going to get assets for nothing. You're not.
You're not. All right. No, good point. Thanks for all those comments there about the trades and stuff. Appreciate them. All right, just a couple last ones here to get to, and then we'll wrap it up as we're rapidly approaching the 1 hour mark. Marcus G says, question for the hashtag mailbag. With concerns about the bullpen being overworked and Stripling pitching so well, why aren't we using an opener in his starts? The only thing holding him back is our unwillingness to let him go three times through the order. Why not an opener and then let him see the 5 through 9 batters for a third time? We could probably get an extra inning per start from him if we did this. Plus, Stripling is the least likely to have his routine affected by this. So thanks for the question, Marcus.
I love that question. And it's actually some outside-the-box thinking that maybe needs to be truly considered. I hate it. I hate the idea of an opener. I hate the idea of an opener. Like, Marcus G is making a really good point here.
Okay,
I
don't
my question to you is who?
Hold on. Before we do that, I do just want to explain for maybe the casual fans watching from the UK or whatever, someone who maybe is new to baseball, the idea of your starting pitcher is that they start the game, they pitch 5 or 6 innings, and then typically by the time it's the third time through the order and you're facing the top of the lineup, so it's the best batters again, that's when you see trouble, right? So the idea of having an opener, which is non-conventional, I think the Rays did it in 2018 for the first time, and kind of shook up the game, so to speak, is that you have a guy come in from your bullpen, pitch to the first
inning.
Pitch in the first inning, so they face the first 3 or 4 batters, and then your starter would come in afterwards. And then they would pitch, you know, 6 innings instead of 5 because that third time through the order, they're facing hitters, right? So it's like we're not necessarily scared of third time through the order. We're scared of the best hitters for the third time.
It's data manipulation, right? It's just data manipulation. It's working with the analytics and the emotions.
So when you say who, 2018 Tampa Bay Rays shook up Major League Baseball with the opener, the introduction of the opener. Do you know who the opener was?
Lay it on me.
Sergio Romo.
Interesting.
New addition to the bullpen. I mean, he's done it before.
He's done it before.
Maybe that's the direction they're going. I don't know. I mean, is it a crazy coincidence? Probably just a crazy coincidence, yeah. But also, when you say who would we have in that opener role, I mean, Sergio Romo has done it before. Maybe they try it.
I wonder if, now this is kind of crazy and out there.
I love it.
There's a couple of fireballers in AA, right? There's the Cuban, Zulueta.
Right. And recently promoted from Single A, by the way.
From Single A, he's now in New Hampshire.
But he's older.
He is. He's 25. He's going on 26. He was an international free agent that was signed by the Blue Jays at 21 and really has just struggled with injuries for the last 3 years. He's finally healthy. He pitches about 100 miles an hour and has been lights out in High A. Pretty big jump to make. Friend of the show, Haggy D.
I knew you were going this way.
Hag and Danner, another guy, right? Throws 100 miles an hour. The problem with both these gentlemen is that they're at AA. They're both not dominating. Now they're doing well, right? I think if you look at maybe even if you got a second here, Adam, to bring up Haggy D's numbers. So Hag and Danner, some of you might remember him from our podcast. He came on the show, and he was converted from a catcher who was a soft-hitting catcher and just offensively couldn't put it together, but he had a cannon behind the plate. Like, he was throwing out guys, and he eventually hit a point where the front office was like, you know what, if you would like to try and convert to a pitcher, let's do it. Over the pandemic offseason where they canceled the minor league season, he spent all summer that year figuring out how to pitch. And one of his biggest things was how to deal with the sore arm he constantly dealt with. So he is in New Hampshire right now. And Adam, do you have his numbers up for the year? They're not mind-blowing.
They're not mind-blowing. He's got a whip over 2.1. He's got
struggled with control all year, by the way.
He's got an ERA of 4.91. His walks to strikeout ratio is ugly. 7.5 walks per 9 versus 2.5 strikeouts per 9.
Because he can't locate.
When you're throwing 100 miles an hour roster. And you're new to pitching. But yes, this is the thing that's important to note. He is on the 40-man roster. So roster manipulation is easier when it comes to bringing Hagedanner onto this team. I mean, he was on the 40-man for a reason. Mm-hmm. Right? He got added to it this offseason for a reason.
I just don't like the idea of a soft slop thrower as the opener. I don't like it. I would rather see somebody come in there and just be throwing 100 miles an hour. But, I mean, there isn't really that. That's an aspect to this organization that is lacking.
I mean, okay, I'm not... Let's take the Hagedanner name out of the equation because friend of the show, and boy, was he a fun talk. I'd love to have him back. Really, really liked Hagedanner.
Yeah, me too. Haggy was great.
But hypothetically, if we're bringing in a 100 mile an hour guy with no control as the opener, it doesn't really benefit us to walk three of the first four hitters, being one of the other ones, and then bring in Stripling with bases loaded, zero outs in the first inning. So,
yeah,
I don't know.
This all comes back to we need pitching.
We need pitching. All right. Last comment of the day here.
Marcus G., thank you for the comment.
Thank you. Last one comes in from Ian. Was listening with my kids in the car, and they commented on how much swearing was on the pod today. Can you use another word instead of Yankees? That's a curse word for my kids. F the Yankees. So.
Oh, I love it. Ian, you've got very classy children. Yes. Let me tell you.
Stay classy, San Diego. Love all the comments and feedback we've gotten. We're approaching the 1 hour mark. So, Scott, should we wrap it up here?
Yes. Thank you, everybody, who has put up with our sound troubles and our technical difficulties. We really do appreciate it. We're working really hard to try and make it to the point where this isn't something that we're dealing with every couple months, where we, you know, because both Adam and I are on the road so much that we're hauling our equipment everywhere, but we're working really hard to get it down to a science and an art. So anyways, we do appreciate you putting up with us. We thank everyone for all the interaction. Everyone makes this community so much fun. I look forward to hanging out in Discord every single night, just checking out what's going on. I always look forward to the shows. I look forward to the DMs that we get. And of course, feel free to drop us a line if you'd like to get your comment on the mailbag. You can do so by messaging us on Twitter at Walkoff Podcast, the Walkoff Podcast on Instagram. We've got the link for the Discord in the show notes, and that's always free to join. And of course, to all our Patreon, thank you so much. All the best, everybody. Let's hope for some wins here on the West Coast. I'm going to Seattle for the Thursday, Friday, Saturday game. So we are going to do the podcast as usual on Friday. Hopefully, videotape some of the crowd reaction on Thursday, because I know there's going to be a lot of Canadians there. So maybe we'll...
if you see Scott, mention...
Thanks for listening to the Walk Off Podcast with Scott Belford and Adam Mack, with a new episode every Friday.
Oh! Oscar with a drive. Cheese and crackers. Shows to pitch to him. Long move.
Thanks for listening.